some of you may recall, in the season of Lent, we followed a theme of pilgrimage to reflect on the spiritual journeys of our lives and the way of Jesus, who called us to follow his way of self-giving love. As we celebrate our fellow Canadians of Asian descent this month and put a spotlight today on the story of Japanese-Canadian United Church members, we remember multiple journeys that were both literal and spiritual. The reflection that I'm sharing today is adapted from the message prepared by Reverend David Kai, who is a retired diaconal minister of the United Church and a prolific hymn writer and arranger who continues to serve the church through his music and teaching. He and his family are part of the rich heritage of Japanese Canadians who make up our nation, who teach us about faithfulness, perseverance, and justice, and continue to work and witness in the United Church. We will be singing one of his hymns at the end of our reflections this morning, and I will be referring to some of the verses from that hymn, which is called Our God Goes With Us, and that is the theme and title of this reflection. The hymn is one that traces the journey of many Japanese Canadians over the last century and a half. God was with the new immigrants as the Spirit blew boats across the sea, as they came to this strange new land, starting in the latter part of the 19th century. God was with the Methodist Church that took to heart the teaching and call of Christ that tells us that all people are valued as children of God. And the Methodist Church, which is one of the precursors of the United Church of Canada, established missions to the new Canadians in the growing Japantown on the east side of the city of Vancouver. And there is a photo of Powell Street United Church, where that congregation became established. Many Japanese Canadians were receptive to the Christian message and also grateful for the help of lodgings and education and other practical matters that the ministers and the mission workers helped with. As the population grew, other Japanese language churches were established in the Vancouver area. However, as the community grew, it still faced many barriers based on race. People of Japanese ancestry, whether born in Canada or not, were not given the right to vote or to enter many professions. Schools were segregated for many years. Racist and opportunistic politicians were more than willing to make Asians the scapegoat of economic and social problems. Does that sound familiar? The Second World War gave them the opportunity to rid themselves of what they considered the Japanese problem. And there is an eerie parallel to this even in our communities today, as racist ideas are boldly circulated by politicians, journalists, and in social media. Soon after the declaration of war with Japan, our government created what they called an exclusion zone for Japanese Canadians. From the coast that we are right up against, from this coast, for 100 miles. The possessions, the homes, the fishing boats, cars, the businesses, all the property of Japanese Canadians were confiscated and never returned despite promises to the contrary. Families were rounded up and housed in squalid conditions of the animal stalls of the Pacific National Exhibition grounds while awaiting transfer. The thriving Japanese community here in Richmond that had formed in and around Steveston was forcibly removed as well. And here is a painting that shows the cannery that was on one of the small islands that also became the part of the Japanese community during that busy time. And those people were forcibly removed from our community. Over 2,000 Japanese Canadians were forcibly removed from Steveston during the Second World War. And only 7 years ago, in 2019, Richmond established the Steveston Nikkei Memorial Park. Have you seen it? It's right next to the Steveston tram at the corner of Moncton Street and Number 1 Road. The Nikkei means of Japanese descent. The Nikkei were forced to leave their homes in Richmond and taken from Steveston Station right there on the interurban trams to a holding station in Vancouver. And then they were interned in camps in the interior of BC, as well as on farms across the prairies. The Nikkei were not allowed to return to the West Coast until 4 years after the end of the war. So in 2019, this memorial marked the 75th anniversary of the forced removal of Steveston's Japanese Canadian community and the 70th anniversary of the return of a small number of those folks as members of a resilient community that helped build Steveston over these past 75 years. And some of us in this room will have friends and neighbors and family members who were part of that resilient community. The men were sent to work camps to build roads, many of them in northern Ontario. This is a part of the story I didn't know until recently. Some families were able to stay together, and they had to work in harsh conditions of sugar beet farms in the prairies. The rest were sent to hastily built internment camps and ghost towns, taking only what possessions they could carry. Japanese Canadians, we'll go to the next photo, I think. Thank you. They were herded onto trains headed to the interior of BC, and encouraged by the United Church, there was some attempt to keep people of similar religion together for the sake of cohesion and leadership within the community. So some internment centers, including this one in Kaslow, had a larger proportion of Buddhist and Anglican members, while others, like Lemon Creek, and this one in Kaslow, had a larger number of United Church folks. And these are Sunday school children. Now, you might not be able to see, can you see the snow? Not just on the ground, but across their faces? It's snowing. So I can just imagine, I wonder what minister or Sunday school teacher dragged these kids out into the snow to take this picture. But there they are, a hearty group of Sunday school kids in Kaslow. God was with them not only in spirit, but also through the United Church presence in the persons of ministers such as the Reverends Kosaburu Shimizu and Takashi Komiyama, and mission workers such as Constance Chapel and Netta Sadler, who came to the internment camps. They weren't living there. Most of them commuted from Vancouver or the Fraser Valley. Soon, thriving Japanese-Canadian churches were operating in camps and ghost towns such as Lemon Creek and Kaslow. And here is Japanese United Church in Lemon Creek in 1945, before the end of the war. The people of these United Churches in these mountain camps and towns found their faith tempered in the crucible of the wartime years. In the United Church, they found a safe, sacred place that created loving communities that continued long after they were dispersed, becoming the foundations of Japanese-Canadian United Churches in cities across Canada. And so the mountains became a holy place, a place where faith grew and blossomed in spite of, and perhaps in part due to, the troubled times the internees experienced. As the hymn that we'll sing in a few minutes states, "In lonely mountain paths our God was found, faith, hope, and love making ghost towns holy ground." With the end of the war, the internees faced another unjust ultimatum: move east of the Rockies or face deportation to Japan. The majority gravitated to larger centers like Toronto and Montreal, Hamilton and Winnipeg. As internees left these ghost towns and camps, United Church deaconesses and ministers assisted them in finding housing and employment and church connections in new cities. In their new surroundings, Japanese Canadians in general sought to become as assimilated and as integrated as possible. They didn't try to establish ethnic neighborhoods, and most adopted more Anglo-Saxon sounding nicknames. As their saying went in those days, it's the nail that sticks up that gets hit on the head. Here in Steveston, some of the Nikkei who returned became part of Steveston United Church. But not many, because they had to wait even longer to be able to come back to the coast. That wasn't an option, even 4 years after the war. It was the original intention that English-speaking Japanese Canadians should assimilate and attend their local United Churches. That was the plan of the United Church, anyway. However, few felt comfortable doing so. And so, as a result, English services and congregations were established for the second generation Nisei, second generation, and their Sansei, children, third generation. And these churches thrived in several cities through the baby boom years, like most of our churches, including this one, that leaked a lot in those days, right? They were places not only with extended family ties, but also ties with friends who had become like family. Warm and safe places to be part of and grow in faith, where one could find loving community and true sanctuary. As the number of Nisei and Sansei members declined, the future of the Japanese Canadian churches is less clear. We have just one small United Church, Japanese United Church in Vancouver, that's still worshiping, but they're a small bunch. This is actually a picture of one of the churches in Montreal that became a very multi-ethnic, intercultural church over the years. And that's a recent picture at Christmas time. So some of the churches in cities like Montreal and Toronto became intercultural churches with members from many different cultural backgrounds. Although this reflection and our next two hymns are focused on the history of Japanese Canadian United Church folks, there is a message here that truly applies to all of us. Our God is always with us. There is nowhere we can go where God is not present. God cannot be confined to any particular building or any particular group of people or to one church or another. Wherever we may go, God is there. Throughout the scriptures, we draw inspiration from the journeys and pilgrimages of our ancient forebearers in the faith. The people of God were liberated from Egypt and journeyed through the wilderness for 40 years before finding a home in their promised land. And later on, the people who were taken away into exile returned again. The stories of journeys and pilgrimages are throughout the scriptures. We remember Mary and Joseph journeying to Bethlehem and their escape of Herod's death squads right after Jesus was born. We remember the journeys of the early disciples and especially Paul, who founded churches in various cities. But much closer to our time and this community, we remember the difficult journeys of Canadians of Japanese descent, the Nikkei, who were forced to leave their homes and possessions and livelihoods to live in harsh places without adequate housing or other resources, not to mention a way of making a living. And yet they endured. We remember their resilience, and especially the faith of those Christians who not only maintained their worshiping communities, but grew and expanded them. We remember the injustice they endured and their courage and perseverance and faith as they built new lives and continued to journey beyond and contribute to our nation in many different ways. Knowing that God goes with us gives us courage and strength in the midst of difficult times. There is nowhere we can go where God is not present already. As Jesus said in our scripture reading today, "I go to prepare a place for you." That applies not only to life after death, but here in this life as well, wherever we may journey. Many of us have experienced the upheaval of moving to a new home. Sometimes it's voluntary and sometimes it's not. We are forced by health or economic circumstances or other circumstances. But either way, Christ has prepared the way for us. Our God is ever before us, going ahead of us, and ever near to us. Jesus said, "I will be with you always to the end of the age." And so it is that the future still unknown is not to fear, for we trust in God alone. Our God goes with us. Thanks be.